The reading is taken from Matthew 22, verses 34 to 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments."
These two greatest commandments. Now, at the beginning of this, when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees. It's something to silence the leaders of the land. I really didn't know what the difference between the two of them were, so I did Google it last night and found out that the Sadducees is a party of the high priest. Before Jesus went to the cross and ripped the curtain in half between the inner part, outer part and inner part, the only people who could go into the inner part where God was supposed to be was the high priest. If we go all the way back to Moses, and Moses was the only person to go up to Mount Sinai to speak to God in the heavens, as he called it. And we're going to come on to that a bit later on about Moses. Seven. And they are the people who went into the high priest. But the Pharisees, which I can say properly, which is good, are the lawmakers of the land. They knew all about the law of the Old Testament. Right from the beginning of the Old Testament to the end of the Old Testament, they knew it all. Top to bottom, side to side. The Pharisees knew all about the law. And they heard that Jesus silenced the other lot going into the temple. And they was coming around to Jesus' way of thinking. And the Pharisees, well, we didn't like that. Why didn't they like it? Because Jesus was going to take their power away from them. And that was important to the Pharisees, that their power was not going to take away from them. We have to remember, Jesus was a Jew as well. So he knew all about the Old Testament, top to bottom, side to side. He knew all about the law and all about the rules and regulations God done their people. When me and my wife does daily readings at night, we was going through Exodus. And we was getting a little bit fed up with it, because it was about the rules and regulations God gave to Moses to tell the people. And it was near enough the same after night, after night, and after night. And we thought, oh, can we read something else beside this? But it's important, because God had to give this to the people. Why? Because they were rebellious. And they had no law in the land. So we come to these two commandments. The first commandment is, as we said earlier, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Do we really know what that commandment means? When I read it last Sunday, and I thought to myself, do I know what that commandment means? How many of us know it, what it means? There, no hands went up. How many can we do this? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul and mind. Anybody, hands go up? One? Oh, that's good. I'm really pleased about that. Because I don't think I can do it. It's hard, isn't it, to do this? And where did that commandment come from? It came from the law God gave to Moses many, many years ago. And we have to remember with Moses that when he went up to Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments, he was about 110 years old. And Mount Sinai is a big mountain. And so he had to go up to the top of Mount Sinai because the cloud cover don't go down, come down so far. So he had to go up to the top of it. And he most probably had to walk about 3 or 4 days and get to the top of it. And God spoke to him up there. And what did God do? Write the Ten Commandments down on the tablet. He must have gone for about a year or something like that when he went up there. He must have been fit, because I don't think I can get up to Mount Sinai if I start walking it now, or any Mount Snowdon in Wales, or the one in Scotland, which my mind's gone with that one. I know we went there on our honeymoon 43 years ago, but I can't remember what it's called. Thank you, Ben Nevis. And we did try and walk Ben Nevis, but we got halfway and decided we got too tired and walked back. It is a big mountain, Ben Nevis. And Moses walked up Mount Sinai not only once, but twice. What happened the first time when he got the Ten Commandments of God from God? He got the tablets and he walked back down the mountain. Most probably took him 2-3 days, because these stone tablets most of all had been heavy. So he had to walk down. Remember, he's over 100 years old when he did this. He walked down back into the Israelite camp. And what did he see in the Israelite camp? That's right. They were fed up with Moses being away and they wanted another god. So they got all the gold and made a golden image for themselves, worshipped, didn't they? And Moses got back and says, "You rotten lot," and he slammed the tablets down on the ground and they smashed. Guess what? He had to walk all the way back up for God to do exactly the same again, to walk back down. And after that, the people turned away from their golden image and worshipped the Lord their God. So we've got Moses to thank for all the Ten Commandments. And as we were saying before the service, if you follow the Ten Commandments, the world will be a better place, won't it? And people will follow them. But let's have a look at this first commandment. Love the Lord your God. Well, that's so powerful, that first word, isn't it? Love. We just sang, "Amazing, this is Amazing Grace." And it says, and it talks about love in that, doesn't it? How God loves us and how God cares for us. We can love our wives, our families and everything else, but do we truly, truly love God, what this commandment says? With all your heart. Now we know where our heart is physical of a human body, a bit slimmer than I was a year ago. I've lost some weight, so I'm a bit slimmer. My heart's about here, am I right? Those people I'm looking at. Those people who've got a medical background, some sort of medical knowledge. I've got no medical knowledge at all. But I was told it's about here. So it's here in your body. You can see it. And all your other organs are in your body. And they're all there. We're going to get to something which is not, you can't see any minute. When you go into hospital, the surgeons open you up for an operation, they can see what's inside your body. I can never do that. All well and good that we have surgeons who are willing to do that. Great, great there. But your heart, what does your heart do? It pumps blood around your body to keep your body working. If it doesn't pump blood around your body, I'm afraid to say that's the end of you, because your heart stops. And every time I used to have a medical for my HGV license, they says, "Have you got a pain in your leg?" And I thought, "What are they asking that for? Is your leg got a pain?" I said to the doctor one year, I said, "Why are you asking you if my leg's got a pain?" He said, "Because of deep," let's see if I can say it, "deep thrombosis." Is that right? Is that how you say it? Yeah, something like that, isn't it? And apparently you can get a blood clot in your leg round here, and it goes up your arteries and into your heart and stops your heart. That's why the doctor asks us HGV drivers if we got pain in the leg. If we have, we most probably failed a medical. And thankfully, I've never had it, so I've always passed my medicals until last year when I stopped driving altogether. And that's the heart. What about your mind? It says your mind. What does the mind do? We know where it is. It's up here. I always say, touch wood, I'll be okay. That's a saying, isn't it? Oh yeah, that'll be right. Let's touch wood, it'll be right. But what's your mind do? It controls all of your body. The heart pumps the blood, but the brain controls the whole of your body. And it's sad, my granddaughter goes to Shawfield School, the special needs school. And I admire the teachers and everything there. You see the children come out of there, their mind's not working properly. And their body is not working properly. We're in wheelchairs and everything else. It's sad to see, but those people do a marvellous job of them. Went to a concert for Harvest last week at St John's in Clapton. And they all come and done things on the stage and everything else. It's great to see that they can do this and people can give them encouragement to do this. So that's your mind, you can see that. But there's one thing in your body that you cannot see, and it's not there. What else does it say in that commandment? Soul. Now, I was thinking about, where is your soul in your body? Does anybody know? No, I ain't got a clue either. I suppose I can get my phone out and Google it, but I've switched it off so it wouldn't go off. But where I think your soul is, in the whole of your body, right from your brain to the bottom of your feet. The soul is everywhere in your body. There's no such place like all your organs inside your body, your heart, your lungs, your liver, which you need your body, which needs to function properly for your body to function. And the soul is the whole of your body. And it says in this first commandment Jesus gave him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. That means with every part of your body. When it's working right, it functions right. When it goes wrong, we go to the doctors and get medication to sort it out. And this day and age, we've got quite a lot of medication where we can sort our bodies out and keep them running and working properly. But with your soul, it is all your body. So Jesus is saying, love the Lord your God, not only with your mind, not only with your heart, but with your soul. And I believe that means your whole body should love the Lord your God. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. And that's why he gave this commandment. The Pharisees were trying to trick Jesus. How many times do people try to trick us? There's a load of scams on your phone at the moment, a load of scams on your emails, isn't there? I just delete them all because I'm not going to be tricked by any of them. And there's a program in the mornings on the BBC, Scam Detectors, and they tell you about how people are scammed and they try and stop those people scam. And last week there was one scam and he got hold of them, and the scammers were in Calcutta. In India, a place in Calcutta. Now, how many people have been to Calcutta? No, I'm the only one. Well, I'll tell you what, it's not a nice place. Calcutta is not a nice place. There's a bridge in Calcutta where 1 million people walk across that bridge in a day. Now, try imagining that. 1 million people walk across one bridge in a day. And that is true. I'm not lying there. And I have walked across that bridge myself, and I have been in the slums of Calcutta, and believe me, It's not a pretty sight. And I admired Mother Teresa when she was alive and working in those slums, because I took one look, turned around and went back, I'm afraid. And it is a terrible place to live. But we know that people are trying to trick us. And here, the Pharisees were trying to trick Jesus. But he gave them the two commandments. What is the second commandment? This is the greatest and the most important commandment. The second most important commandment is like it. Love your neighbour as you love yourself. That's another hard thing to do, isn't it? We love ourselves. If we start hurting, as I said, we go to doctors and hopefully we can get better. But sometimes we can't get better, like Chris's sister at the moment, who's got cancer and she's having chemotherapy. I certainly know what that's like. When my wife had chemotherapy many years ago now for breast cancer, and I went through that with her, and so did Janet in a way. And so we certainly know what that's like, but it saved her life, and she's been with us, and she's still with us, which is great. But Jesus said this commandment, love your neighbour as you love yourself. That's hard to do. How do we love our neighbours? We need to care for them. And who is our neighbour? Not our next door neighbour, not the person sitting next to you. Everybody out in the street. I always remember once, many years ago, about 30-odd years ago now, or longer than that, 35, 36 years ago, I was driving down into Kent, making the delivery down in Kent. It's Paddock Wood, actually. And I went down there, and there was this lay-by, and this lady at the lay-by was shouting, wanting help. Mobile phones, non-existent those days. And she couldn't phone anybody. She had a flat tire on her car, and nobody would stop. So I see her waving like this, and I thought, oh, I'd better stop here. So I pulled the lorry into the lay-by, and there was a car, flat tyre, and three children in the back. Well, that morning, I went into where I was working. They were selling cheap drinks, and it was a hot day. So I went and got a drink for the children. Said, there you go, have that for the children, and changed the tyre for her. Oh, she said, thank you very much for stopping. Says, you're the first person who would stop and help me out, because she had no mobile phones to ring. She was in the middle of nowhere and she had nobody to help her. Lest you stop. And that is our neighbour as well. People on the side of the road. I haven't only done that once, I've done it three or four times to help people out on the side of the road. So our neighbour is everybody around us. Not our next door neighbour at home, not your neighbour you sit next to in church. It's everybody, and we need to know. And Jesus said this to throw it back into the face of the Pharisees. And then the last bit of this, the whole law of Moses and the teaching of the prophets depend on these two commandments. The whole law, not only a little bit about it, but the whole law. And when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, I don't think Moses realized how it's going to change society, how it's going to change the rules and regulations of the law. As I say, when I was a lorry driver, all the rules and regulations, well, I think the book was about that high off the ground with all the rules and regulations. Can never remember them all, I'll tell you. I only remember the ones I wanted to remember to keep me safe from DVLA, which is the body which checks you for your tachographs and all that lot. And it was a big book, I'll tell you, it was like this. And the law of the land these days, well, I think it's up here, isn't it? The books, about all the rules and regulations that government put through, or was it too high or three high? It could be most probably a whole church high of books and rules and regulations which the government put through. So these two commandments, what can we learn about them today? We can learn to love each other. We can learn to love God more. We can take that home, can't we? Jesus was trying to be tricked. Are we trying to be tricked with these two commandments? No, we are not. And Jesus said to them, back to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees knew them very, very well, because they knew the law. And they still, after Jesus said this, wanted to get Jesus and question him about it. Next part of this is questions about the Messiah. The Pharisees weren't happy with Jesus' answer, and they still wanted a question. They still wanted to trick Jesus into saying something he didn't want. And we can take that home, can't we? That we can love the Lord our God with all our mind, with all our heart, and with all our soul. Wherever our soul is in our bodies, we can love the Lord our God with those three. So let's go home today and think about that. Do we love the Lord our God with those three? Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you gave us these commandments. We thank you that you tried to trick the Pharisees into believing in you, into believing in your love, into believing that you brought the good news to everybody around and to us as well. So we pray as we go home, Lord, that we can remember these two great commandments and to know that you love us. And to know that your love is so amazing that we can return it to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.